countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Have you cattle to sell? Find out what they're worth with our March price calculator on farmersjournal.ie.
Now, this time 20 years ago, the country was holding its breath. Foot and mouth disease was spreading across Britain, and it only seemed a matter of time before the disease reached these shores. When the first cases were found in the Cooley Peninsula at the beginning of March, a cull was organised of all the neighbouring flocks. Former John Whirley spoke to David Nally on RTE's Primetime, describing the day his flock was culled.
And all the veterinary lads arrived in white suits and all the paraphernalia, vehicles, what have you. And they proceeded down to the shed where the sheep and lambs were. They injected the lambs with lethal injection, put them to sleep. It was dreadful to see young lambs, merely hours old. They then proceeded to slaughter the sheep. I didn't see it done. We left the shed.
And obviously a painful moment there. Darragh McCullough joins us. Take us back, Darragh, to that time, because you were also covering that story.
Yeah, I was just cutting my teeth in Radio 1 at the time, and I can distinctly remember being packed off to the Ballymascannon Hotel in the Cooley Peninsula, which was kind of like the war room. It was the epicentre of the Department of Agriculture and all the paraphernalia that was rolled out to try and combat this outbreak. And it came a week, our incident in the south came about a week after the first incident on the island was reported at Mike in South Armagh. A dealer had imported sheep into Northern Ireland in February, even as those horrific images of mass culls and those huge funeral pyres from across the UK were being beamed around the world. And emotions were running really high in the farming community at the time. I mean, you heard that farmer there talking about injecting lethal injections for lambs that were literally days old. And that dealer was branded a traitor on Liveline. And, you know, every farmer on the country in the country was a nervous wreck because, you know, they looked on at the mounting death toll across the Irish Sea. There were over 6 million cattle, sheep and pigs slaughtered before this epidemic was brought under control. I can remember myself, you know, going down to the studio on 5-7 Live, as it was back then, talking to Rachel English about my own fears for our own herd at home, where there was decades of pedigree breeding, and they would have been simply culled if the disease showed up. And that was the fear that was in every farmer at the time.
But Darragh, it was the Cooley Peninsula where the focus was in the Republic, wasn't it?
Yes, so it was just a flock just in Proleek, which is just beside the Ballymascannon Hotel, that tested positive for the disease. And at this point, the Irish authorities pulled a masterstroke. I mean, it was, kind of depends a little bit on your point of view. They instigated a mass cull of sheep across the whole of the Cooley Peninsula, some 30,000 sheep, which is pretty shocking if you were a sheep farmer in the area, because all of a sudden those hills just went completely silent. I mean, this was a time of the year when yows had already started to lamb, and normally they, you know, the whole region would be alive with the sounds of lambs and yows. But literally in the space of a few weeks, all those sheep were slaughtered, and it had the effect of instantly containing the risk of the spread. And in addition, Larry Goodman, literally in the space of a long weekend, turned a derelict beef plant into an operational one, so no animals would have to leave the area. And by instigating these draconian measures, the rest of the agricultural sector in Ireland, which relies massively on exports, was able to stay trading internationally. And in fact, revenues in Irish agriculture increased in 2001 because of the higher prices and shortages in the likes of lamb, beef and pork due to the millions that were being slaughtered in the UK.
But Darragh, the knock-on effect on the rest of the economy and society was pretty severe, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure you remember this, Marty. I mean, there was matches cancelled, training was cancelled. It wasn't to the same extent that we're suffering through at the moment. I mean, mass went on, but it was a striking example of the solidarity that the rest of society displayed for the agri-sector, because, you know, the international tourism sector was effectively closed down that year in Ireland. And, you know, huge events like the Six Nations Rugby were cancelled as well, along with, you know, there was agricultural casualties as well. You know, the local regional shows and the National Ploughing Championships was cancelled. But, you know, when I think back to that time, how quickly the whole episode was consigned to history for the general public. And when you compare what we're going through now, it seems like such a minor thing, you know. Mm. I mean, people were still free to move around. There was no mass unemployment. And I suppose, critically, there was no risk of disease or death amongst the human population because foot and mouth isn't a zoonotic disease. It can't jump the species divide into humans. So that shadow wasn't hanging over us like it is now.
But the effects lived on for quite some time, indeed, up to the present.
Yeah. I mean, you might remember there was another farmer on, I think it might have been Liveline at the time, and he was likening the loss of their sheep when the cull happened to a death in the family, which might have struck some as a bit over the top, but it was such a hugely emotional wrench for the farmers involved. And apart from the shock of witnessing day-old lambs and ewes on the point of land being euthanized, there was also the issue of whether these farmers would ever find stock that would take to the mountain again. You're probably wondering, what's he on about there? But think about this. Those sheep were born on those mountains. They lived all their lives on those mountains, and in particular, patches of the hills overlooking Carlingford and Dundalk Bay. So they knew every crevice, every spot to shelter, where the best grazing was. And they also knew, you know, by the flock next door, what wasn't their patch. You know, as a local farmer referred to it, described it to me as the white wall, because believe it or not, sheep are quite territorial. So when each flock has a patch on the mountain, the farmers know exactly where they're going to find their own flock. And when all those flocks were removed, gradually, like one or two flocks were parachuted in, those sheep just didn't know where they were or where they were supposed to be.
Well, do you know what, Dara? Only on Countrywide, we're going live to a farmer on a hillside at the moment with his sheep. Good morning, Matthew McGreehan.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Where are you exactly? Are you indeed on the hillside with your sheep?
I'm here in Glenmore in the Cooley Mountains in a place called Cowaran, known locally as Cowaran. Yeah, we're just gathering in a lock of ewes for scanning this morning, Marty.
And are they lambing at the moment?
No, there won't be lamb until the 5th of April, maybe, to start then, you know.
Now, you lost your flock in 2001, a flock of hundreds of sheep. Looking back, Matthew, what stands out in your memory?
Well, I suppose you have, before the foot and mouth, I have three memories of it, I suppose, you know, and my memory is it's quite clear of the whole lot. You had, when we seen it on the TV screens in England, we said it'd be devastation if that came here. Mm. Then it came to Mike in Armagh, and we were, because of our proximity to Mike in Armagh, we were in the exclusion zone, and we were taught we were so, you know, it was all shoulders to the wheel for a month, and we thought we were out all clear, and then there was a case when we were nearly out of the woods. There was a case then in Perleek, so, you know, it was devastation then, you know, when we were asked to cull our sheep, to let the department cull our sheep to save the country. You know, because my sheep had no foot and mouth disease.
Devastating, Matthew.
Oh, it was. It was a whole valley of sheep, Marty. A whole life's work wiped out. And it was devastating, Marty, when you'd see the lorries coming to your neighbour's farm, taking away their sheep, the best of sheep, the best of breeding sheep that was taken away forever.
Heartbreaking.
And then, you know, the day came when they came from mine. I remember well, the 5th of April, and it was lashing rain, and the department contracted local hauliers to take the sheep to a local disused factory, and the sheep lambing gone up on the lorry, and the whole lot was just devastation, you know what I mean? Mm. But that was terrible. And then when all the sheep was gone from the valley, the whole sheep, I'm looking around here now, there's sheep everywhere, you know, thank God they're back. But like that time, there wasn't a sheep to be seen, or a goat or a thing, and you know, it was a bleak time. But I suppose, Marty, when we give up our sheep that time, when the minister asked us to give up our sheep for the good of the country, you know, we thought we'd be compensated, and we weren't, you know. Like, we weren't selling our sheep. We cooperated, and we definitely weren't compensated for what we lost, because as Dara said there, you know, each sheep knows their territory on the hill, and all that knowledge was lost. Mm. You know, the ewes passed that on to the next generation, and it took me probably 12 to 15 years to get sheep settled back on the mountain. We went to Kerry, Hilarious and Kerry Marty, and a lot of us went to Connemara too, and sourced sheep from Hilarious over there and brought them back. You know, but it was a very expensive year to buy sheep that year. Mm. Breeding sheep are very dear. And then to take them back and try to get them settled, you know, on the Cooley Mountains where they didn't know where they were. They thought they were out in Connemara or in Kerry, on the Kerry Mountains somewhere, you know. So they were traveling a lot of area, and it took a lot of years to get them settled that we could call them our sheep again, you know what I mean? And it caused a lot of trouble and hassle in the area too, and bad feeling and everything else, you know, and it's still going on to this day, you know. The only thing is, Marty, we have there's an annual show there now, and there is a good committee together. We do have an annual breeding show, and people who come from all around the country now to buy good breeding stock, you know, and we have it there on the first Saturday in September. So, you know, things are improving, but definitely that does leave a scar on us now, the way we were treated afterwards, you know.
Yeah, well, Matthew McGreehan and indeed to Darren McCullough as well, you both describe what happened 20 years ago vividly. We might be on the radio, but you painted the pictures, and I can still even now feel your heartbreak. Yeah. So, Matthew McGreehan and Darren McCullough, thank you both for joining us on Countrywide.
Just one thing, Marty, like, after the foot and mouth, Marty, all agreed that even on all the 32 counties, and Irish, all cows were Irish at the time, you might have remembered. Mm. But like, there was supposed to be a fortress Ireland after that, but it didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe now with Brexit, there will be hopefully all Ireland health status and the whole lot, you know, and that we can work with that, you know.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. On this particular morning, thank you, Matthew McGreehan, for sharing what was heartbreaking time for you, and indeed Darren McCullough as well.